Welcome to Sex and Everything in Between, a podcast where we find the true meaning of what it means to be LGBTQA.
Who are the LGBTQ plus?
Yes, I wear foundation. Yes, I live with a man.
What is cisgender?
I am more man than you'll ever be.
When is porn okay?
My views on this one is like, I wish if this can happen each and every after 2 weeks or monthly.
Why are there so many nude scenes on TV? This is Sex and Everything in Between.
Okay, hello and welcome, guys, to the Sunny Times Lifestyle Podcast, Sex and Everything in Between, where we undress and address all topics around sex, gender, and identity. Today, I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Thabo Tshabalala.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Just summer's slowly
creeping in there.
Creeping in.
I think it's making me a bit lazy because I haven't even thought to introduce myself.
And by the time it's like 12 o'clock, you're like, yo, it's so hot, you know?
I think it's we should have been hibernating. I always say humans should be allowed to hibernate. I don't think we get the chance at all.
During summer or winter?
Winter.
Oh, no.
You want the summer hibernation?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's hot.
Anyway, I'm Tango, your wonderful digital lifestyle editor. And today we have a guest in our podcast, our first episode. And the greatest way to kind of kick it off, I think, is so amazing. We have Mondi, a.k.a. the gay superhero.
Yes, how are you? I'm well, baby. It's the queer superhero now, but like, let's go with it.
The queer superhero. Corrected.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me.
We haven't spoken in a long time. I have covered this one, like, non's business. Yes. How have you been? How are you finding life? What's good?
I've been great, honestly. Hey, I've just been taking it one day at a time, and I think the focus that I have right now is what I need, especially now because we're going into a new season. I'm very excited about this new season. I love spring, summer. It's where things get to bloom. It's where I get to prepare for new things. That's why I'm very excited.
Wonderful. Now, for those who don't know, obviously, I'm acting like the know-it-all. What does Mondi get up to? What do you do?
I'm an award-winning film writer. I'm a TV and radio presenter. And I'm an LGBTQIA+ activist.
So
among other things that I do. But I enjoy just being me and authentically expressing myself.
Now, I am he, him. I want to assume Thabo's identity. What is yours? Your pronouns?
My pronouns are, I guess, him.
Okay, there you go.
Him. Okay. He.
Did you discover that today?
No, maybe. I thought about it today and I was like, he. Maybe I might transition in a few years from now and start calling myself them and they.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm they and them.
There we go. No, we're going to jump into that a bit later. But now that we know each other's pronouns, I feel it's time to get a little more personal. We can get into a little bit something more deeper with our lovely little game called A History of Sex.
A History of Sex?
That makes me sweat. I'm sweating now. You know, when people start talking about sex at home, you're like, ish. I'm getting sweaty now.
Perhaps we should. It's not a very active game. I'm not a sports star. Yeah. I'm very calm. So if you're hearing a sound, it's the jiggling of our lovely friend called the Rose Buddy. And inside the Rose Buddy, we have some little clues to some very famous icons.
Oh, wow.
And they all have something to do with sex, gender, and all things LGBTQI+.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to have Mondi pick the first name. Some of them are being naughty in there. Let's see if we can get that in there. It's like a nice little ASMR video.
I love the white rose.
So pick a name for us and just read the clue.
Ooh, okay.
And we will solve who it is.
When the LGBTQIA+ flag only had 6 colors, this revolutionary added black and brown colors. Who is it?
Yes. So who do you guys think it is?
Black and brown.
Yo, and I know those editions. I saw them. And
are
I know
they in the flag now?
Yeah, they're in the flag now. Yes.
Oh, interesting. I have no idea. I would help you.
I wish I could say Martha P. Johnson, but long rest her soul.
But this icon is from the States, and she added these colors in 2017. But I'll jump right back to it later. Just remind me, please.
Wow.
But she's an amazing icon from the States who added these colors in 2017 as part of diversifying the way that we saw the flag.
Yes.
So before that, we had the usual colors.
Yeah, rainbow colors.
But
yeah.
Her idea was there are black and brown bodies that are not included in this. And so her staunch thing was to make sure that we have them included.
Wow. Yes.
In June 2017, under the leadership of Amber Hikes, the Philadelphia Office of LGBT Affairs unveiled the More Colors, More Pride flag. This version of the flag includes a black stripe and a brown stripe to draw attention to underrepresented people of color within the community. Hikes states that the flag was designed to reinforce our strides towards combating discrimination within our community, honor the lives of our black and brown LGBT siblings, and uplift our shared commitment to diversity and inclusion within that community.
So yeah,
that is our lovely game, History of Sex.
I love it.
Interesting. I didn't know that brown... Oh, wow, interesting.
It's interesting how, you know, it began as just a couple of logos and colors that the gay flag. It's always so wonderful to see how the LGBTQIA plus flag kind of transformed over the years.
I'm
always excited to see the new additions to it, especially because of the main identities we keep finding. And speaking of, I think this is a great place to start now with the identities of the many letters within LGBTQIA+. So Thabo, if you will, let's get that audio in for the first two identities we'll be tackling, which is lesbians and gays.
L stands for lesbian. This is a noun that refers to a woman who loves other women. Lesbians make up 19% of those that openly identify as members of our community. G stands for gay, which technically means anyone who loves someone of the same gender, and that includes lesbian. But generally, the word gay is used to refer to a man loving another man. Gay men make up 36% of those that self-identify as members of our community.
All right, perfect. So just to kick it off, guys, do you remember the very first time you came across either someone who is lesbian or gay within media?
Yes. Threesome. Threesome. I literally vividly remember that I was very young. You know, they would come up on TV from time to time, and I'd be so mesmerized at the fact that wow, these queer bodies are existing in the way that they do, especially in a femme like way, and it's so verbose and outspoken. And I thought to myself, this is so inspirational. You know, and at that time, I didn't also understand myself, but I think when I saw them on TV and on magazines and stuff like that, I think I got inspired to get. To really get into the journey of discovering myself.
So was it the same for you?
No, it's not. The first time I came across gay was, there was a show called After Nine.
Yes! Oh my gosh.
And in this show, the first time I watched it, I think I was around 11, 12 years old. And I thought it's a normal show. I didn't know what even After Nine meant. You know? And then, do you see two men kissing? And I was like, it gave me a sense of, maybe that's who I am. Because, you know, as you grow up, you start feeling different emotions when you look at a girl and a guy. And every time I looked at a guy, there was this sensation that came. I mean, I was very young, but I remember after that, then I started realizing, these people are actually called gay. You know, it was through that show,
This could have easily been a negative situation. Because I think of my first time, and it was, I think, Scary Movie back in the 2000s. And it was the gay character who puts his, I don't know if we can say it here, but we'll probably blur it out, but his penis through the bathroom stall. And it's this constant joke about how gay he is. And I was like, gosh, does this mean like I'm going to have to go like sexually assault people or something?
I understand
it. And so I'm wondering, I mean, I'm putting it to you guys now. Do you think it's important to have as much positive portrayals of queer people on media? I mean, I think of people who are heterosexual and don't understand it. And they probably think, ugh, there's so many queer people, gay people on TV now. It's too much. Is that the case? Is it important that we see more gay people?
Yeah, I think it's very important to see more positive images of LGBTQIA plus people because we were so misrepresented before. And I think that's one thing we need to move away from. It's realizing the fact that we need the representation, and it's very important to be represented in a positive light and to get to see yourself. Because many young people right now, I think as queer people, we only later discover ourselves. And we were robbed of a useful experience of our queerness because there was never that representation that showcased love for us, and we don't even know what that looks like. So it's so important. Definitely representation, I agree.
And also just adding on, like, I think being gay was portrayed a certain way. Like, for example, when you saw Somizi with this whole, with his alter ego, what's it called again?
Madame Gigi.
That's how people understood gay. And then you got a Senzo and Jason on generations who changed the game to say, Ukuthi, you can still be, you don't have to be feminine to be gay. And that's when I also realized, Ukuthi, actually, it's okay the way I am. I don't need, I'm not trying to make myself feminine, or I'm not trying to. That's when I saw Ukuthi, I can date somebody who's just like me. So I don't think we are, it's gotten better, but I still think it can be better, it can improve. Yeah, it can.
Now that you mentioned that, I'm thinking of how, you know, race comes into play here, whether it's from other races that are different from you or races that you're within in that group. What role can that play in the experience for those who identify as lesbian and gay people?
Sure. The races, it's a hectic one, because we come from cultures and families that understand gay to be a specific way.
Yeah.
But if I come here, many of my family members till this day get shocked when I say, hey, I'm gay and this is my boyfriend.
Mm.
But why aren't you dressed in a skirt? Why don't you have any makeup on? Why? But I'm like, but that's not me. And black people still, I feel like within the black society, if I can call it, a bit more education is needed. Because if you go to deep, no, I don't want to say rural areas, but if you go to a place that's kind of far from Gauteng, like Northern Cape, for example, being gay, they're still seen to be
a taboo.
A taboo, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, race plays a huge role. The complexities of being black and queer are so stringent. And I think it's so important for us to recognize the fact that, like, we grow up in families that are very cultural, either very religious, and that can be very stifling to a queer child or a queer person, because you grow up trying to kind of move away from all of those things, but also trying to understand yourself. So it can be a complexity on its own.
What do you think has played a part in these sort of prejudices that are coming from within those communities, where it's like, oh no, we can't accept this? What do you think it's stemming from?
I honestly think, I don't know if superhero but I think it's culture. I think but you know, as black people, we are rooted in our cultures. But I think when you speak about homosexuality, it's like, I don't know, it's like what Uganda is now currently doing. It's like, you know, it's like you're committing a sin. So I guess it stems from culture and also religion, if I can say.
Yeah, definitely. I think culture and religion plays a vital role in the prejudices that we experience as queer people. And I think a lot of the times when we try to kind of understand who we are, we're kind of taken back by those hurdles, if I could say, because you think, you know, when you are a religious person, you consider other people, to especially homosexual people, to not be normal people. Yeah, and for me, I think those are things that we need to kind of get rid of and understand a bit more.
Absolutely. And I think something else we have to understand a bit more is something called biphobia. We speak much about homophobia. I think it's time we actually tap into what it is to be bisexual.
The B stands for bisexual, which means someone is attracted to two genders, one of which could be their own gender, but does not necessarily have to be. They make up over 40% of those that identify as members of our community.
I will take that with a pinch of salt.
It's the highest one I've seen. 40?
It says a lot, actually.
Yes, it
says
does. A lot.
Let's actually jump into that. I mean, there's a variety, not a variety, but there's such an abundance of people identifying as bisexual. Why is there such erasure to their experiences? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of erasure because people have a lot of misconceptions about what being bisexual is about. They think that it's people who are just cheating or a bit selfish because they want both sides or things like that. They have all these misconceptions that are not true, and I just wish they could give it a bit of an understanding, because you do have bisexual people who are attracted to both sexes, and I think it's so important for us to give those people an understanding and to give them support. Yeah, and I think people have misconceptions about it a lot.
Wouldn't you say that a person who's bisexual is confused? It's just me. Like, aren't you confused in terms of... Because if I say I'm bisexual, I don't know if I'm boxing. I don't want to box anyone. Mm. Or, you know, but when I get old, who do I see myself with?
Is that a very stuck way to see it, though?
Is it a stuck way? I'm asking.
Yeah,
perhaps. I mean, it's perhaps. A little bit of that erasure. What do you think?
Yeah, it's very erasure. That's a bit outdated thinking.
Is it? I'm just like thinking, Ukuthi, when you die, I know it kind of sounds, you know,
very
but
morbid.
I think I'm not the only person listening to this podcast who would say, but aren't you a bit confused in terms of, when you die, who you're going to die with. Mm. Like, who do you see yourself with before you die?
You know, decide. I mean, it doesn't mean if you're in a relationship with the other that the other doesn't exist. It's always there. You'll always have an attraction towards the other just because you're in a relationship with another. Mm. So I think if you look at it that way, you can understand a little bit better and say they're not confused because they choose who they are with, but that's not erase a different part of themselves that they're still attracted to the other sexes. Mm. Yeah, mm. So it's still a huge part of their life. So understanding that, I think it's a bit more important than looking.
I love what you're saying there because it's making me come back to my next question, which is why is there this confusion that constantly happens in societies, whether it is within the queer community or outside of us? People just don't get what it is to be bisexual. Why is this? Where is it coming from?
Mm. Well, I think, again, it's coming from a narrow-minded way of thinking. Mm. I think people don't want to allow themselves to be able to expand their way of looking at bisexuality because they believe that one should be attracted to one's sex and that's about it, and they only believe it and see it that way. But I think if we begin to open our minds and kind of correspond in a way in which could be a way to empathize and understand their lived experiences, you'll then begin to understand where they're coming from because it's not an idea of them being selfish or being confused, as he would say, you know. So I think it's important for us to recognize their existence. Mm. Yeah,
which they make. I mean, 40% is quite a lot.
Yeah, 40% like is a lot. I think that's a lot. I think that's reaching.
Because I mean, lesbians is at 16. 40%. Gays
why
is like 36.
The reach? I can understand. 40%. I think that's there are reaching. Definitely people who can see attraction or feel attraction or fall under that category where it's limitless in terms of not limitless. Limitless, would that be pansexual, but limitless in terms of just the two binaries. Do you guys really think it's not the case?
40% could be.
40% is a little bit of a reach.
But I'm
think.
Like, 40% is too much, eh? That means it's the
I mean,
whole.
More than gay men.
Yeah. I expected more gay men.
Yes, when this, gay when, men
when this pie chart
yes.
started showing, I'm like, okay, gay men is the most.
Yes,
like,
I think
like,
gay men are a lot.
40% for bi?
I think we've had our moments. But then again, you know, because there's no restrictions to these identities. Yes. So even a gay person can perhaps at some point identify as bisexual.
That's what I was about to ask. Yeah. So then can a lesbian person also then change and say, I'm bisexual?
Yes. Is it changing or is it growing?
Growing, evolving.
Okay.
Evolving. Yeah. You evolve.
We're learning.
Let's continue learning. Actually, I would love to jump into transgender now, something very topical
T
and something
for
very divisive sometimes, which
means
is very unfair,
someone's
but let's
gender
just
identity doesn't match their sex assigned at birth. For example, a girl who was born with male body parts, or a boy who was born with female body parts. Transgender people make up 5% of those who identify as members of our community.
I'm going to stab whoever made this because I don't believe that.
5%. I
know a lot of transgender people in my life. Like 5% is definitely not it.
Absolutely.
I also know my cousin who's transgender as well, but from birth, she was born with female body parts, but does not identify himself as a woman. He identifies himself as a man, you know, and it wasn't one of those things of, oh, I'm transgender now. She grew up like that. Mm. She, like, that's her life. Even, you know, his mother knew, would see, my child was born with female body parts, but he identifies himself as a boy, and that's how he grew up.
I love that journey.
Like, it wasn't
parents
one of those,
accepting that.
It wasn't like, that's why I'm like, it was one of those things of, oh no, like, you know, with us gay men, we have to come out.
Yeah.
My cousin never came out to anyone. You know, he grew up like that.
How important is it? And I'm going to include here the trans experience as well as the sexualities that we've just discussed. How important is it to not come out? I think a lot of people listening in might not understand the concept and they expect it from people. Mm. But how important is it to not come out?
I think, you know what, coming out is a conversation, but it's also an individualized personal thing where I feel like it's up to the person to realize for themselves when they do want to come out or how they want to come out or if they want to come out or not come out, you know, because at the end of the day, the decision lies with you, you know, and you can't convince other people of your lived experiences. And I've met a lot of people who said they were just themselves and they never had to come out. Mm. And I've met people who also said, I came out and this is what my experience was like. So I think it's a very individualized thing that we should allow to happen to people and for them to decide for themselves.
Is it more of like accepting from a young age whereby you don't even have to come out? Because I'm looking at my cousin, he never came out to anyone, but I had to come out. Because is it because I didn't accept it as a kid, and I was in denial for a very long time. That's why I now had to come out. I'm just like, I'm looking at my cousin. He never said a word to anyone, but we knew he's like that. So is it more of accepting from a young age, or that support that he got from, you know, his mother? Like,
yeah, when you grow up with that kind of support, you coming out, the chances of you coming out are slim, because you have the support from an earlier age, and you're kind of molded into growing up knowing who you are. And that is a very positive impact on one's life. So yeah, definitely does play a role.
So accepting, yeah.
I have to ask, you know, I've had an experience where someone who is what we would call cisgender being so hateful towards the term, like, why would you call me this? I'm just a straight man. Why does this term exist? And a lot of them, I think it's a slur. What is cisgender to the two of you? And why is it so important for people who are cisgender to learn about what experiences transgender people have?
All right, for me, cisgender is somebody who exists with their assigned sex at birth. And that's something that they can correlate with and they resonate with from birth, since it was given to them. I think the reason that they get touched is because it sounds like a different word than homosexual, I mean, than heterosexual, because they mean the same thing, heterosexual and cisgender. But when you use cisgender, they feel as though it's an attack on them, on their identity as well. But it's not an attack. It's just embracing the variant identities that exist within just an understanding the LGBTQI plus community. So I think it's so important for us to understand them, but also to not allow them to kind of hinder us from expressing ourselves truly.
As you said, yeah.
I want to jump into to genderqueer experiences as well now. And these are sort of like the, I guess now we're jumping into the letters that don't often get a lot of light in the plus. So if you can play the clip for us, Tavo.
Q stands for queer or questioning. Queer is a term used to describe someone in the LGBTQ community, but with a lot less syllables, and it helps people better understand our whole community using just one word. I stands for intersex, which means a person is born with a combination of male and female biological traits. And finally, A stands for asexual or aromantic, and it means a person is not sexually or romantically attracted to any gender, but they can still have relationships and friendships.
Most people are still very confused about trans identity, non-binary, gender fluid.
Even though it's 2019, it's not something that everybody runs and be like, oh, you're genderqueer, yay, hugs and kisses, we love you still.
The hardest thing about coming out at 17 is no one believes you. Everyone is like, wow, that's a really cute phase you're having.
Even when I'm saying what I identify with, people still have a specific imagination of what that means.
Most people are going to assume that you're one of two genders, a man or a woman, and so every single day you have to be correcting them and you have to be declaring that you're non-binary to pretty much every new person that you meet.
Let's I'll start with Mondi here. I mean, I think that's a beautiful way to, I think, encapsulate the experience of genderqueer or non-binary people. What has that journey been like for you, and what does it mean to be non-binary?
It's such a transformational thing. I think for me, how it began is just I realized that, like, and through this, through my show, the Queer Superhero Show, and experiencing other queer people, I learned that, like, there's such huge variance when it comes to our identities, and that one can get to learn a lot about themselves if they actually learned about the identities that exist out there. And I think for me, genderqueer is so important to me, because for me, it means that I express myself in a masculine way, in a feminine way, and sometimes both. And that's how I felt as a person, knowing that that's how I can express myself. And I didn't even have the word for it until I found out that it could be genderqueer, which also exists in the non-binary. So I think it's so important for me to always articulate myself and to understand that that comes with pronouns as well, which are also different. So it's so important to just, like, get to learn the different experiences that come with this identity.
Now, before I go into heterosexual people, I mean, I have to look at the queer community that you're already in. Is there support from the queer community for non-binary people?
I would say there is a little bit of support, you know, because we're also still learning about it and still discovering it. A lot of us are still learning, like, we're learning many identities that exist out there. So I think there's little support because of lack of understanding. And, you know, I think the more we begin to understand it a little bit better, then we can get to give that support that we need.
I think this might be a harder question to ask, but, you know, a lot of people who are heterosexual and not part of the queer community might think there's so many identities.
Yes.
Can we explain to them what that means? I think, I mean, I have my understanding of it is that we have taken so long to just understand the few sexualities that are existing.
Yeah.
So that's why I think they're sort of playing the catch up to what it is, and we are all kind of expanding. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think, you know what, everything in life can be a little bit challenging, getting to a point where you want to understand something. But I think it's so important for you to give yourself a narrative that can be something that can be educational, because we need it to be something that's educational. I think every day of our lives when we wake up, we are an educational aspect in ourselves by existing. So just exist, and in that way you can educate people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sums it up beautifully.
No, that does.
Before we close, I want to play another little game that we have on our show, and this is called What Made You Go Ooh This Week? This could be something very, like, what you enjoyed. It could be something that maybe kind of made you, like, go, oh, wow, I didn't realize this little thing in life. So if I begin, I mean, I had a wonderful time at Four Ways Market this past weekend, and I've heard the rumors that it's like the ghetto, white refrigerators.
Because of that one trending
TikTok video.
You know, just because of that one TikTok video where people were just dancing to, was it Umnige?
I will take a stance, because I don't even remember the video, but I will take a stance and say it was amazing.
It's not the ghetto, and I've never been there, but it's not the ghetto.
I encourage people, not advertising, but I encourage people to actually try it out.
I had a good time there, so.
Really?
Yeah. Just one video.
So what was your ooh moment this week, guys?
Ooh, mine was definitely the queer superhero show, just getting to shoot again. I was like, ooh, it was such a refreshing thing. I think, you know, I had not been shooting in a while, and I think for us to come back and be having to sit down with queer people, it's just an exciting thing, and I'm very happy that I'm doing it. So it was definitely my ooh moment this week.
And Tabo, your side?
This moment right here.
Ooh.
This moment right here. I mean, throughout the 30 minutes or so we've been speaking, I've just learned a lot about, you know, the LGBTQIA+ community, and also some of the alphabets that have been added there and what it means. You know? So I go home today to think about myself and where I stand as a queer person.
Wonderful. Yeah. And then to close us off, Mondi, please let me know, what are you currently up to? You've got the show coming back. What else can we expect from you?
I've got the show coming back, and I'm also a little bit starting to work on new music as well. And I was shooting some show for SABC 1 as well, so I'm quite excited for that to come back. And season three of my show, my kids show called Cave Quest, is coming back to SABC 2 at the end of this month. So I'm quite excited about that. So yeah, I'm really, really excited about a number of things right now.
Booked and busy. That's how we like it.
We try.
Thank you so much for joining us, guys. And that's been this edition of Sex and Everything in Between. Remember that you can keep up with our latest podcasts free on iona.fm, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Play.fm, and the Pocket Cast. Thank you so much, guys. Have a lovely week.
Yes.
And find your ooh.
Find your ooh moment.